Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Archery's podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Stolen Pride, Loss, Shame, and the Rise of the Right is a work of sociology and political analysis by Arlie Russell Hochschild, best known for her research on emotion and public life. Building her earlier studies of the American right, the book turns to Eastern Kentucky and the Appalachian region to examine why many white working class voters have been drawn to conservative populism. And Donald Trump, rather than reducing political behavior to income alone, Hochschild focuses on the emotional consequences of long-term economic decline, cultural marginalization, and broken expectations. Her central argument is that many residents experience not just material loss, but a deeper injury to dignity. They feel that pride in hard work has been converted into shame, and that something rightly theirs has been taken away. The book combines immersive fieldwork, interviews, and sociological interpretation to explain how those feelings can be redirected into resentment, blame, and political loyalty. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the pride paradox at the center of conservative resentment. Hochschild organizes the book around what she calls the pride paradox. In the communities she studies, people are taught to value self-reliance, hard work, and personal responsibility. So success produces pride and failure produces shame. The difficulty is that many residents live in places where good jobs have disappeared, addiction is widespread, and upward mobility is structurally limited. That means people often interpret hardship as personal failure, even when the causes are economic and historical. The result is a painful contradiction. The very moral code that encourages dignity also intensifies self-blame when circumstances make dignity difficult to sustain. Hochschild uses this paradox to show why political anger in these regions is not simply ideological. It is tied to daily emotional experience. The book argues that once shame becomes chronic, people become more vulnerable to narratives that explain suffering as the result of theft, betrayal, or humiliation rather than complex social change. Secondly, Appalachia as a case study in material decline and emotional loss, the book is rooted in Eastern Kentucky, especially Pikeville and surrounding Appalachian communities, because Hochschild sees the region as a concentrated example of broader American fractures. She describes the collapse of coal employment, the weakening of manufacturing, environmental damage, and the opioid crisis as part of a material economy in decline. But she also pays attention to what she treats as a pride economy, meaning the social value attached to being respected, useful, and self-supporting. When that economy collapses, the damage is not only financial. Residents can feel that their region has been mocked, ignored, or left behind by national elites. Hochschild does not present Appalachia as a stereotype of victimhood. Instead, she shows how structural decline, local identity, and cultural pride interact. The point is not that poverty automatically produces right-wing politics, but that long-term neglect creates an emotional environment in which grievance feels plausible and political promises of recognition gain force. This regional focus gives the book its empirical depth and keeps its argument grounded in place. Thirdly, from stolen jobs to stolen dignity, how loss becomes political blame. One of the book's key insights is that economic hardship alone does not explain resentment. Hardship must be interpreted. Hochschild traces how residents move from a sense of lost opportunity to the belief that something has been stolen from them. That stolen something can be jobs, land, status, respect, or a rightful place in the nation. The language of theft transforms diffuse disappointment into a coherent political story. It also helps explain why blame shifts toward outsiders, including immigrants, minorities, and liberal institutions. In this framework, these groups are imagined as line cutters who receive what others were promised. The book does not endorse this perception, but analyzes how it works emotionally. By presenting loss as theft, the narrative relieves shame because failure no longer appears to be the result of personal inadequacy. Instead, it becomes evidence of unfairness and betrayal. This shift matters because it turns inward pain into outward anger, making political resentment feel morally justified rather than psychologically defensive. Fourthly, Trump as the good bully who promises emotional restoration. Hochschild argues that Donald Trump succeeded in this environment because he seemed willing to voice and amplify the anger generated by the pride paradox. She describes him as a kind of good bully, a figure who insults opponents, breaks norms, and attacks institutions in a way that some supporters read not as a moral defect, but as proof of strength. In her analysis, Trump's appeal does not depend only on policy positions. It rests on his ability to embody retaliation against the bad bullies' elites, media figures, bureaucrats, and cultural forces seen as enabling decline. He gives emotional form to resentment by promising that humiliation can be reversed through dominance. This is a crucial part of the book because it explains why conventional critiques of Trump's character often fail with his supporters. Traits that critics see as disqualifying can be reinterpreted as useful if they appear to punish enemies and restore respect. Hochschild's account, therefore, links political style to emotional need, showing how authoritarian or combative rhetoric can feel like repair to people who feel looked down on. Lastly, ethnographic listening as a method for understanding polarization. The book is also important for the way it does sociology. Hochschild relies on long-term immersion, interviews, local observation, and attention to everyday speech rather than on polling data alone. That method allows her to reconstruct the emotional logic of her subjects without flattening them into a demographic category. She is especially interested in hearing how people narrate their own biographies, define fairness, and explain local decline. This approach gives the book a distinctive ethical stance it tries to understand Trump voters without excusing racism, nationalism, or hostility toward outsiders. Instead of treating them as a monolith, Hochschild presents a spectrum of experiences within a politically conservative region. The method also reveals the limits of distant analysis. Statistics can show where poverty is concentrated, but they cannot fully explain how shame, pride, and resentment are lived from the inside. By combining empathy with critique, the book models a form of political sociology that is both interpretive and diagnostic, making it useful for readers who want to understand polarization at the level of emotion and community. In conclusion, Stolen Pride will be most valuable for readers interested in American politics, sociology, cultural analysis, and the emotional roots of polarization. It is especially useful for those who want to understand why appeals to resentment and restoration resonate so strongly in economically distressed rural regions, and why discussions of voting behavior often miss the emotional dimension of loss. The book offers a clear benefit to intellectually curious readers. It moves beyond simplified explanations based only on class or ideology and shows how shame, dignity, and local identity shape political life. What makes it stand out among books about the rise of the right is Hochschild's method. She does not argue from a distance. She listens closely, spends years in the field, and reconstructs the inner logic of a community often discussed from afar. That gives the book unusual nuance and moral seriousness. Readers looking for a purely policy-driven account may want more prescription, but readers seeking a deeper explanation of grievance politics will find a rich, carefully observed analysis that connects emotion, place, and power. If you would like to support Arlie Russell Hochschild, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.